Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Ontario Chamber of Commerce recently released a report calling on all three levels of government to tackle the affordable housing crisis. Some people might wonder why a business organization is producing reports on housing. In this interview, Port Hope Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Officer Brenda Whitehead will dive into that mystery. It has a lot to do with workers unable to live in the communities where they work. This was not an issue in the past because people were expected to commute to jobs. Now, there is nowhere that is cheap to live, and it's expensive to commute. So, it is vital communities create housing where people can once again live and work. This is only one of a host of other issues being raised by the Chamber. You will also learn about some initiatives going on in Port Hope to address workforce development and other projects that are meant to deal with issues raised by the Ontario Chamber of Commerce. It's really nice to have back Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce.
Thanks, Robert, and thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to share what's going on out here in the world with you and the rest of the community.
When most people think about the Chamber of Commerce, they think about this group that represents the business in the community. What does affordable housing have to do with running a business?
Housing on its own is, you know, starting to reach crisis points within the province. And I think the biggest thing has to do with the buying power of households and the business's ability to attract and retain talent. And, you know, just the exasperating amount of homelessness that's happening in the community, it all has a direct impact on our economy, our quality of life, who we are, where we are, and in our communities. And I think that's why the Ontario Chamber of Commerce banded together across the province to create the policy statements that they have.
Was the genesis then of this report from the Ontario Chamber of Commerce, was it driven by developers?
I think the biggest thing is that we as Chambers of Commerce, you know, in the Ontario Chamber of Commerce, they represent about 60,000 businesses across the province. And there has been this huge issue with regards to labor force availability, with, you know, the fact that we can't get talent, especially in smaller communities. It's been resonating louder and louder. And a lot of people were pushing it towards, you know, the lovely pandemic that we're working our way out of. And the reality is coming into place that the housing and the fact that it's all levels of government that impact housing, not just municipal, provincial, or federal. And that's where the Ontario Chamber of Commerce banded together at the request and the drive from the membership saying, what are we going to do to help our labor markets? What are we going to do to help with our buying power so that we can continue to grow the economy?
Were you at all involved with any of the consultations that took place in the formation of this report?
Actually, Robert, we were invited to participate, and we included a number of our local organizations and agencies in the discussion. We did attend as the Port Hope District Chamber of Commerce, and there was representatives from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors that went to Ottawa for the roundtable discussions.
What came out of those discussions? Can you tell us a bit of the details of what got said around the table?
It was a really interesting group because there were, like I say, there were not-for-profit housing groups from Prince Edward County. There were big, you know, developers from Ottawa, there was a 3D printer house guy. He was sitting at the table. There was lots of discussion around supply and demand and, you know, some of the things that most people are fully aware of. It was a really good mix of different representatives from different situations with regards to housing and concern. One of the greatest things that came out of the one in Ottawa was the fact that there were a number of rural representatives there. And once there was discussion around supply and demand and where to put things in infrastructure, we stood and we mentioned to them the fact about things like the labor force and the fact that there we have to think about the mid and the affordable housing. You know, people who work frontline in Port Hope can't afford to live in Port Hope. You know, they're looking for some of the shared accommodation and those kinds of things. We talked about a couple of the other infrastructure issues too, like transportation in rural Ontario, like childcare. You know, without having childcare spaces, nobody can go and fill some of those gaps because they, you know, it's more affordable for them to be at home taking care of their children and there are no spaces. So even if they were to have, you know, some skill sets, they don't have a place that they can send their kids for childcare here in this community. So there's no attraction to bring skilled people from a housing perspective because let alone there aren't enough houses and spaces, but when you don't have those other infrastructure supports like transportation and childcare, then it just adds to the inertia of problem.
In the report, it says that 68% of organizations in Ontario face a labor shortage. Do you know of any cases in Port Hope where this is an issue?
Well, funny enough, we're working on a project right now with the municipality called the Balanced Employment Initiative. It'll be another press release we'll send out in a couple of months when we've got our full report done. But we've actually been doing research trying to identify within our community where the actual gaps are. There have been huge gaps in areas like hospitality and tourism, like healthcare, construction and skilled talent within that sector. We also have heard from the aquatics, parks and recreation, you know, a lot of the frontline work that is showing 68%. I would say that there are definite gaps within the Port Hope district as well.
Do you have any stories that you can share of a business in Port Hope that might be a really good example of this ability to attract and retain talent?
I don't exactly have that document right here in front of me to pull one out and say, hey, this business is doing fantastic. But I would say that there are a number of small manufacturing businesses that do a fair job of pulling in and attracting and training talent. And that's one of the things that our Balanced Employment Initiative program is going to address. And those are the things we can do to better retain staff. So it talks about things like training for employees, but also training for employers so they understand who their labor market is. It's also, you know, about paying a wage that people can live. You know, the living wage is, you know, obviously for full-time positions, but even in part-time situations, you know, people have to be able to eat and house themselves and make sure that the base of Maslow's hierarchy is being met. So there are a number of small manufacturing businesses that are doing okay. There's a couple of hospitality and tourism businesses that if you're work in that sector, there's definite places that you want to go and work because that employer has set those markers for success.
I'd like to talk about immigration because I know that's another aspect of the report. What do we see in terms of immigrant workers coming to Port Hope to fill the labor shortages?
I don't know that we have a large number of immigrant workers. We've obviously had, you know, some of our Ukraine, you know, the Ukraine families who have come in, some have found employment. There's a number of barriers that automatically are implied, everything from language to finances to transportation. I mean, those are all big things that come into play from a workforce development standpoint, right? Housing and childcare combined with transportation are the three biggest things that affect your labor and your workforce team and their ability to get to work and be effective in the workplace.
Is this something that your study that you're doing with the municipality, is this something you're looking at in addressing?
Not immigration directly, because it hasn't been fully identified as a hole in the stuff that we're working on.
But is this also going to, though, address a labor shortage need? Because there'll be all these students, they'll obviously want to be working to, you know, obviously help pay for their education and their expenses. Yep. How is it going to impact the labor market now, that other piece that we were talking about earlier?
Well, hopefully it will help to, you know, help to fill some of those gaps, because if they're going to school here and they're living here, they're obviously going to be, as you said, looking for somewhere to work so that they can help offset some of their costs. So, you know, ideally college and university students, they're okay with working in hospitality and tourism, in the retail sector, in some of those more short-term grassroots entry-level positions. So, I mean, ideally, if they're living here, they'll want to work here, and that should help to address some of the vacancy and need.
Another thing you alluded to earlier, which is also in the report, is this idea of workforce development. So what are chambers looking for in this area?
I think that there are a number of different things that can happen from a workforce development. Again, a lot of promotion around the skilled trades. Whether you're a big city or a small community, skilled trades are needed. And so we need to really look at skilled trades as viable employment options. We need to look at, as I indicated, training and retraining opportunities for the next generation. It could be anything from, you know, sustainable technology to modular construction. There's even, you know, mention of 3D printed housing, tiny homes, looking at things a little bit more innovatively. So that we can fill some of the gaps with regards to workforce development, but also provide affordable housing so that we can continue to build the workforce itself.
One of the things that is in the report is this aspect of developing more openness to working with smaller communities within the larger community. For example, the queer community or the racialized community or people with disabilities. What is Port Hope doing, if anything, to encourage businesses to be hiring a more diverse workforce?
That will be one of the outcomes of the Balanced Employment Initiative when we talked about training for employers. So one of the things we're looking at are what skill sets do employers need to look at, you know, whether it be things with regards to mental health, whether it be to understanding, you know, a different generation of people, whether it be encouraging, you know, the hiring and creating your own policies around diversity, equity, and inclusion, so that you look at things, you know, a little bit differently. I know that the, you know, there's even the aging population. You know, people have retired a lot younger. COVID encouraged people to leave work a little bit earlier. You know, in some cases, they decided not to go back because they knew that they could handle being away from the workplace. And I know that there are initiatives around age-friendly hiring and hiring those who are a little bit older to do some of these more frontline and skilled trade, because they come already ready with stuff. So I do think that it's a whole avenue of hiring and exploration that the community, you know, Port Hope and all across Northumberland and Durham region are really starting to look at, because those are pockets of population that can help to deal with the workforce development.
There is an appeal for the creation of strategic plans to address the housing supply at all three levels of government, municipal, provincial, and federal. Now, the last time I checked, these were all things on the to-do list for local politicians. Why does the chamber feel it needs to get its oar in the water on this level of detail?
I honestly believe it's because we are the voice of business, you know, locally, regionally, provincially, and federally. Chambers of Commerce and Boards of Trade represent the economy. We are the voice of the business community, and we work with all three levels of government. And I think what happens is every now and then, subject matters come up that cause a lot of consternation in communities, a lot of stress in communities. It doesn't matter whether you're in Port Hope or whether you're in downtown Toronto or whether you're in Kenora in Northern Ontario, housing is an issue across the province. And there are so many different levels to who's responsible for what when it comes to housing. Municipalities have, you know, certain responsibilities, province has certain responsibilities, and the federal government has certain responsibilities. So this is a natural fit for us as local, regional, and provincial and federal chambers of commerce organizations, you know, the chamber network together, to say to those three levels of government, these are things you all have to be doing to coordinate.
You alluded to this just a moment ago, and I want to come back to it. And that's the number of statistics that are in the report where it's suggesting that there are huge projected needs for additional housing. To meet this demand, it's going to take infrastructure. It's going to take water and sewers and roads and so forth. All this is money that comes from taxes. Yet the business community is one of the groups that so often complains about the high level of taxation. How do you square that circle?
I think you just said it. You can't really square a circle and you can't really circle a square. But I do think that, you know, the province has set the target of 1.5 million homes by 2031. That's the number that's in the report. And that's the number, you know, that they have talked about. And, you know, there's currently 1.25 potential homes in the municipal development pipeline. So already, you know, under negotiation, talking about, you know, those kinds of things. I think it's really hard because there has to be, you know, lots of those different infrastructure things, especially, you know, from a cost perspective. I don't know how they can balance it out. The businesses are obviously taxed higher than the houses, but if you have more houses, you know, you can offset, you know, some of the tax base.
So I guess what I'm trying to find out is, are you saying business is now prepared to pay more than it's paying now so that we can ensure that there are, you know, water filtration plants and sewers and roads and all those things that we're going to need to build this housing, to meet this demand, to solve these problems that business has? I mean, are they prepared to put the money on the table?
Well, I think that those that are aligned with this sector, so the developers and the builders, you know, and that kind of stuff, they know that they themselves are responsible for the building of some of those assets, you know, from a development perspective. I think that it all comes down to some of the land use planning. So making sure that there's a balance to help pay for some of those things. I don't think anybody wants to say to the businesses, you know, in the business community, you're going to pay more taxes so that we can offset housing, you know, to bring more people into the community. I think that the municipalities are going to have to, you know, be creative in working with the developers and the province and the feds to make sure that this stuff happens.
I was just going to say, provincial government has set up a system now where developers are going to be, you know, paying less than before. They're not letting municipalities collect and create reserve accounts for things. And a lot of municipalities are panicked because they're just not going to have the same revenue from the development stream. So money's got to come from somewhere.
Yes, it does. And I think that's why the OCC took the three-prong approach. You know, municipal, provincial, and federal have to talk to each other if they're going to make this happen and deal with the housing crisis. Then they're going to have to review the infrastructure. They're going to have to align the targets and the regulations and the approval process and the dollars and cents where it's coming from. You know, it can't come out of pocket from one to offset. You know, you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. It has to work for everybody.
Are you sending this report to Port Hope Council?
It has been sent to all three levels of government directly from our mailbox. So It's been sent to the mayor and council. It's been sent to the MPP and Minister of Environment, Conservation and Parks, and it's been sent to our local MP as well.
And Northumberland County?
I believe, I would think so. If it hasn't, it will be when we're done.
What do you expect them to do with it?
I would like to think that they would do, you know, three things. One is take a look at the recommendations at their level of government. I would hope that it would start conversations amongst the three levels of government, especially here. We're very lucky in Northumberland County because people want to do what's right and do what's best. And they're not afraid to work together to make things happen. So hopefully we can be, you know, a bit of a example to the rest of the province on things that can happen if small communities work together.
How far is the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce prepared to push this agenda?
At this point in time, we haven't really positioned ourselves with it. We know that it is a situation here in Northumberland. We try to stay on top of, you know, the situation and the picture, you know, some of the different efforts and energies that are being put out within Northumberland County. We do have a couple of recommendations and suggestions that will be coming up probably early fall with regards to, you know, some of the processes with regards to development and that kind of stuff within Port Hope and across the county. So I think we will push as long as it needs pushing.
So on a local level, if I've heard you correctly, you're talking about a study that's being done right now to look at labor shortage, labor force development. You've also just alluded to another something that is going to happen in the fall. Can you maybe more clearly articulate for us what are these steps locally that are going to happen, and what should we be looking for as a community from both yourselves and the municipal governments in terms of responding to this report?
I would say that the Balanced Employment Initiative will be moving forward, identifying, you know, some of the gaps from an employee and employer standpoint, as well as working with community partners to deliver, you know, some levels of training and addressing some of the labor shortage things that have been brought up in this housing report. With regards to the other initiatives that could be coming in the fall, we're kind of on a wait and see because we know there are some, in Port Hope anyways, we know there are some studies and stuff being done with the new council that is in place here, you know, things like the Economic Development Strategic Plan, you know, those types of things before we say these are the things that we're going to push forward for. We do know that there are, you know, some things happening in the development phases in Port Hope that we may want to help push the policy a little bit. But until we see what some of the outcomes are, I can't really identify what the exact steps are going to be.
Brenda Whitehead, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome, Robert, and thank you. And to anybody who's out there who, you know, if you have any concerns or issues with things that are happening at the municipal, provincial, or federal level with regards to the economy and with regards to business, please reach out to your local Chamber of Commerce. We are here to provide great reports like this that are done, you know, at the provincial level. And we're also, you know, willing to listen and see what we can do to help you and be the voice of business for you.
Thanks so much. That was Brenda Whitehead, CEO of the Port Hope Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.